Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service today. My name is Tina, for those that don't know me. And I will be walking with you through the service today. Our Bible reading will be brought to us by Diane. Diane will lead us in prayer. The Bible reading will be brought to us by Robin. And today our music team, we have a very strong music team. We have Sam on keyboard, Rosemary on guitar and singing, Young Lan and Trevor are also singing today. So we look forward to great leadership. So we thank them. Our mission focus for this month is on Bush Church Aid Society, and in particular the Pharisee family at Kununurra. And I believe it's going to be very hot there today. I looked at the map, not very good. So they're doing great things there and serving the Lord with great love and gusto. So we thank them for that. Now, I'd like to invite Trevor up because he's going to give us an introduction to the Bible teaching today.
Thanks, Tina. Put your hands up if you make promises. I think we all make promises. As humans, we don't often keep our promises. We try to. God makes promises too. We read a lot of them in the Bible, and we've been following one of the promises that God made to us, about to Abraham, back in Genesis 12. And this promise took a long time to be fulfilled, and so it's understandable that you can get to complain a little bit and whinge a lot. And so the lesson we're trying to learn today is, well, how does God deal with God's people when they whinge and complain in this way? But in particular, this is a great little story that points to Jesus as well.
So would you please stand for our first song, Praise My Soul, the King... It is the scripture for sentence for today. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. Amen. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be fear or be dismayed. Amen. So please stand for our first song, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Praise
while standing, just take a moment and we'll pray for the kids' church before they leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your love for your family, and in particular, all those involved in kids' church. We pray that the lessons they learn from Anthony, Kay and Manette would be pleasing and gracious in your sight, and that this time will be a great time of learning and growing in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, while we're standing, why don't you take a moment just to turn around and say hello. There's a lot of beautiful waving going on. We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son, who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Christ Jesus, who died and shed his blood for us. Amen. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And so let's just commit our reading time to prayer. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word and understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our Bible reading today is from Numbers 21, 1 to 9, page 155. When the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in Negev, heard that Israel was coming along the road to Atharim, he attacked the Israelites and captured some of them. Then Israel made this vow to the Lord: "If you will deliver these people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities." The Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them. They completely destroyed them and their towns, so the place was named Homer. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look on it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When We're now going to affirm our faith. Please stand and join together in this affirmation. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated.
Please open up the Bible reading to where you found that in your Bibles, and also or into the handout that's given to you in the news and notes. And I'm just going to go and get my glasses. Cool, I can see you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you speak to us through the word as we hear it read and as we think on it. We thank you that your spirit guides us into truth. And so help me now to teach your word correctly. And may we experience your spirit guiding us into truth. Encourage us by what we hear. And we pray that we might know you more, that we might trust you more. Amen. It's hard waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, especially if you have to wait a long time. The longer we have to wait, the more we doubt if the promise will be kept. I remember when I was 12, 3 months before my 13th birthday, being promised by my mum a scooter for my birthday, not a motor scooter, one that you push like this, remember? Okay. It wasn't any sort of scooter. It was actually a pretty good scooter. I had my eye on it in the toy shop for a number of months beforehand, knowing that Mum was going to give me something special for my 13th birthday, and that I could choose what that was, becoming a teenager. It had pumped up tyres. It had a rear seat with a sissy bar. For those who know what that is, all right. Chrome mud guards. And front and rear brakes, a rear flag, and the tassels on the handlebars, all right? Really cool. I'm embarrassed now. But waiting those 3 months seemed like an eternity. It seemed like an eternity. And I remember asking Mum numerous times if she remembered the promise that she made, just in case she had forgotten. The first couple of times, she was very patient. No, I haven't forgotten, Trevor. But there came a time when I asked again, and there was a long silence and a look at me over her glasses, and I knew I better not ask again. It's hard waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, especially if we have to wait a long time. And I gather it's only natural that the longer we have to wait for a promise to be fulfilled, the more likely we are to become frustrated and more likely to complain. The reason why it's hard waiting for a promise to be fulfilled is because it's not up to us to fulfill the promise. It's up to the one who has made the promise to fulfill it when they are able to and when they choose to. We just have to be patient and trust the person at their word. Well, our story this morning in the Bible comes at a time 700 years after God made a promise to Abraham. And so let me remind you of the promise in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 6. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." It's now 700 years after God made that promise to Abram. And over those 700 years to our Bible reading this morning, as one reads through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, we read of God fulfilling his promise. Not in one big hit, but over time in his choosing. Let me walk you through those 700 years. Let me familiarize you with the story of the first five books of the Bible. Let me tell you how God fulfilled his promise over time. And let me do a quick overview of the first five books before we come to our passage of scripture for us this morning. Despite Sarah, Abram's wife, being unable to conceive, 25 years after the promise, Abraham had a son called Isaac. Do you know why they called him Isaac? Does anybody know? Why, Tina? It means laughter. Sarah thought, no, that's impossible. But nothing's impossible for God, is it? And God would keep his promise, and so they named him Isaac. Laughter. When Isaac was 60, he had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And I hope that as I go through this, you're remembering some of the stories that you may have remembered either from Scripture or Sunday Kid or Kids Church or from church in the past. Jacob had 12 sons, and the second youngest one was Joseph. Yeah. It was Joseph God used, despite bad things happening to him, to bless Pharaoh in Egypt. The wisdom God gave to Joseph rescued Egypt through 7 years of famine and also other nations. Pharaoh realized he was blessed having Joseph on his governing team and invited Joseph's family and his 11 brothers and their families and his father Jacob to live in Egypt. This is the story we would read in the remaining chapters of Genesis, from chapter 12 to chapter 50. After 430 years in Egypt, Abraham's descendants grew into a very large family of thousands. The Pharaoh then in Egypt didn't recognize the blessing of Joseph and his large family, nor having God's people in his land. Pharaoh didn't like them. He feared them and made them slaves. And at that time, God raised up Moses to be his rescuer of his people. The time had come for God's people to leave Egypt and go to the promised land, Canaan, the land God had promised to Abram. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. God brought down 10 plagues on the Egyptians, the last being the death of every firstborn son and beast of the Egyptians. God's anger fell on the firstborn, but passes over God's people. Eventually, Pharaoh said they can go, but tried to stop them at the Red Sea. God opened the sea, and God's people passed through, and Pharaoh's army was washed away. God's people now found themselves saved. And in the desert, on their way to the promised land. While in the desert, God provided food for them and water. But the people complained and they whinged. It only took them 2 weeks, a fortnight, to actually get to the edge of the promised land. But when they got there, they all but two, Joshua and Caleb, all but those two were scared to go in and frightened and didn't believe God had given them that land to take and that God would keep his promise. God was angry, justifiably. The people wandered then in the desert for another 40 years. God continued to provide food for them and their clothes never wore out. But God's people complained and whinged. It was better for us to be back in Egypt. Well, whilst in the desert, God gave them the Ten Commandments, and he told them how to worship him in a tent called a tabernacle, where God chose to dwell, what sacrifices God required to forgive sins, and the law of God that they were to live by. This is the story of the second, third, fourth, and fifth books of the Bible: Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. After 40 years wandering in the desert, and 700 years after the promise was made to Abraham, finally, the next generation after those that left Egypt, Abram's big family, now called Israel, were at the edge of Canaan once again, the promised land. A promised people, poised to become a nation with their own land. And so we come to today's Bible reading. The Canaanites came out to fight the Israelites, look there, and God defeated them, verses 1 to 3. The Lord directs Moses to lead the people to the Red Sea, the long way, avoiding going through the land of Edom and a fight, verse 4. Eager to occupy the land, the promised land, it's been a long time waiting, the people became yet again impatient and they grumbled against God and against Moses. They accused Moses of bringing them out of Egypt again to die in the wilderness and of God for his lack of provision and protection. Verse 5. I suppose, humanly speaking, we could say we don't blame them. They had to wait such a long time for God to keep his promises. But be that as it may, God was angry, and his people's lack of faith in him, their hardening of hearts and putting God to the test, God to the proof, though they had seen his miraculous works. God was angry, and rightly so, with their continual sin. And as God had done with those of his people in the past, the consequences of sin is death. Snakes bit God's people, verse 6. And many died until they turned to Moses and admitted their sin against God there. Look at verse 7. And they asked of Moses to intercede for them, to pray for them, for God to take away the snakes. Moses intercedes. He prays for the people. God doesn't take away the snakes, nor their bite, verse 8. But he gets Moses to make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole and tell the people, when bitten, look at the bronze snake on the pole and live. Verse 9 there, look with me. So Moses made a bronze snake and he put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The story here is one of many similar ones dotted throughout Israel's history. Stories of God's people, their lack of faith and ingratitude a number of times. But like every story in the Bible, the main story is always about who? It's about God, isn't it? It's always about God. The Bible is God's story. What we learn of God from his encounter with his people as he goes about fulfilling his promise is, I take it, that we're to learn that God makes promises and will fulfill them in his time. He deals justly with his people and mercifully. Yes, it is hard waiting for a promise of God to be fulfilled, especially if we have to wait a long time. And it's only natural that the longer we have to wait for a promise to be fulfilled, the more likely we are to become frustrated and more likely to complain. The reason why? Because it's hard to wait. It's hard to wait because it's not up to us to fulfill the promise. It's up to the one who has made the promise to fulfill it when they are able and when they choose to. It's not that God is unable to keep his promises, nor was he unable to keep his promises here. He fulfills them, and fulfills them he does in his time of choosing. For Israel, the sixth book of the Bible, Joshua, tells us of Israel entering the promised land, actually becoming a great nation, blessed by God to be a blessing to all nations and to all peoples, just as God had promised to Abraham. We just have to be patient and trust him at his word. But it's interesting that Jesus mentions this story. Did you know that? Jesus mentions this story with reference to himself in his encounter with one of Israel's teachers, Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 14, we read Jesus saying, in reference to the cross, trusting God at his word, the forgiveness of sin, and receiving life, but life eternal. Jesus said to Nicodemus, and to us, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. It's a promise that God has made for us, that we're waiting for, that we have and are yet to realize in all its fullness. But there's more about this next week when we come together for our Bible teaching. Other than to end on this promise of God from 1 John, let me read it to you. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate, one who steps in on our behalf with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you make many promises, but the great promise that you've given to us is life eternal, life in all its fullness. You've given that to us through Jesus, despite our sin. And so, Father God, we thank you that you've sent Jesus to atone for our sin. We look to Jesus, we look to the cross, and so teach us, gracious Lord, to begin our works with reverence and awe, to go on with obedience, and to finish them in love, and then to wait. Wait patiently in hope and with a cheerful confidence, looking up to you, Jesus, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
We're now going to sing our next song, In His Name. This is God's only plan. Please stand and join in.
And all for a thousand times.
be seated or kneel as we come to a time of prayer. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Continue in prayer. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for conflict and war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your law, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, ruler of all, in whose kingdom peace and righteousness abound, we pray for those who are in conflict, especially in Russia and the Ukraine, and in Myanmar and other very troubled areas. Take away prejudice, cruelty, and revenge. Grant that barriers which divide may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease. Through Jesus Christ, our mediator. Amen. Spirit of justice and truth, grant to our governments and all who serve in public life wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Protect them from corruption and the temptation of self-serving. We ask for your guiding hand in our upcoming state elections, that those elected to positions of leadership will call on you to provide them with the necessary focus, skill, energy and heart to serve honestly, compassionately and honourably in their roles. Help us also to commit ourselves to the common good, that our land may be a secure home for all its peoples. Through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Lord God, bring us together as one, reconciled with you and reconciled with each other. You made us in your likeness. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us forgiveness from sin. You have promised us an eternal future with you in your kingdom. Lord God, give us an understanding of each other in all our differences and similarities. Help us to hold back on judgment of others and instead show your love and compassion. Lord God, bring us together as one, reconciled, healed, forgiven, sharing you with others as you have called us to do. In Jesus Christ, let us be together as one. Amen. All things look to you, O Lord, to give them their food in due season. Look in mercy on your people and hear our prayer for those whose lives and possessions have been destroyed by storm, flood, or fire. In your mercy, restore your creation and heal the land. So guide and bless your people that we may all enjoy the fruits of the earth and give you thanks with grateful hearts. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. We ask you to strengthen and encourage all whose ministries are supported by the Bush Church Aid Society, especially the Pharisee family in Western Australia's Kununurra. We also lift into your hands David Anthony's in his work through Anglicare in hospital chaplaincy. Pour out your spirit on all your ministry workers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving Father, we fall so short of what you expect, but trust that in your grace and goodness to us, your spirit will lead, guide, and change us as we grow in faith. Help us develop a closer relationship with you through reading your word, praying to you, and applying what we learn to our daily living. Amen. And join with me in the set prayer for today. which is for greater faith and love. Father of peace, we are joyful in your word, your Son, Jesus Christ, who reconciles us to you. With our eyes fixed on him, let us run the race that is set before us with eagerness of faith and love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
We now come to a time of our diary and dates and announcements. The first one is the Passover meal. Now, we're going to have a Passover meal on the Wednesday before Good Friday, and that's really quite exciting. So it's a lovely time for us to really reflect on what this meal was and how it relates to us. And if there's a sign-up sheet up the back, so if you would be coming, please pop your name there or contact Rosemary. And it's going to be held in the church hall upstairs. Next week will be the Lord's Supper. So we look forward to sharing time at his table. And thank you for everybody who supports all of us. For those who give online or via the offertory box at the back of the church, and also to our monthly mission focus. And I just remind you that the little envelopes are actually at the end of the pew if anybody would like to pop a donation there and then put it in the box at the back of the church to help support our monthly missions, which are the Pharisees. Also, there's prayer after the church service. And Coral and Dick are staying at the front for anyone who would like to have prayer with them. And morning tea, very important. Please stay COVID safe. You know the rules, so just be reminded of that. And also for morning tea this morning, because we're having our annual general meeting, for those who are coming to the meeting, please bring your coffee or tea, if you haven't finished, in at 10:45. We're going to start promptly. There's also, in your news and notes, there's a reminder we're having an election sausage sizzle next week. And for those who are available to help, there's a sign-up sheet at the back table. There's also a list of the Easter services coming up. And also a reminder about the defibrillator refresher course. So please have a look at those and remind yourselves of what we need to do or would like to come to. So now, we're going back to our sentence of scripture for today. Just a reminder. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. We're going to have our last song, What Love My God. And as the music team comes up, please stand.
Send away a lie.
Let's just pray. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.